Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Lamed Beis. We're starting Lamed Aleph Amed Beis. And then Gemara begins on the final line, Amar Rava. Shochat Para v'shochat Behema Acheres Imah. Divriyar Koyul Psula. What is this all about? We had a machlokes yesterday between Reb Nosson and the Chachomim. What was the machlokes about? When a person is doing Shechita, does he have to be Miskaven? Does he have to in mind, I'm shechting? Or could you have a shechita where he didn't even think that he was shechting? How can you shecht without thinking? So the Gemara gave us an example yesterday. A person was doing darting practice, where he was throwing a knife at a target. Zorak sakin lenoyatza bakoiso. He threw a sakin, hoping to make a small hole into the wall, and it would stand there, it would stay there, and he'd be able to tell proudly to all his friends, you see, what a great job I did. Guess what? Not only did his friends come to observe this beautiful target practice, but even a behemoth came by. And the behemoth got a little bit too close for comfort. And what happened was, not only did the sakin did a great job in going into the koisel, but holcha v'shachta kidarka, it went and shechted that animal. And afterwards people said, wow, it's a nes. Look, a perfect shechita, a perfect slice. There was no hadrasa, and there was no shehiyah, and there was no chalava. It was great. Is this kosher or not? So we had a machlokes. Reb Nosson says, machsher, yah, this is kosher v'yosher. V'chom poisn l'chom say, no, it's no good. What was this, the basis of this machlokes? Imora said, Reb Nosson learns from the fact that it says, dafke l'gabi kodshim, that their tzoinchem tizbachuhu, that when you shecht it, it has to be lidatchem, you have to know what's going on. But that's only the gabi kochim, the gabi chulin, even if you had no intention of shechting whatsoever. Your intention was just to throw the knife, and it did a great job. Says Reb Nosson is kosher. Of course you have to check the socket to make sure that there are no pigimois, that it was smooth and sharp and all the rest. But we're saying that everything was done perfectly, except for the fact that he had no kavana. Nosson says it's kosher, and the Chachamim disagree. So now, based on that, says the Gemara, this has other halachic ramifications, not only vis-a-vis the animal that was geshachted in such a unique manner, but also what happens if you're shechting a pora aduma at the same time together with another animal. The first case of the Gemara is talking about that he did it intentionally. He shechted the Pora Aduma and another behema at the same time. He had a very, very long sakin, a long chalif. Remember, we learned yesterday, if you're talking about two animals, it has to have at least the lengthy chalif, has to have the length of three mloit savars. But that's only if you're going in one direction. If you're going moiluchu maybe, then it could be even as small as an izamel, as a small little scalpel, a small little razor.
Without the horns,
exactly right. Beautiful. Shkoyach. So Rav says, what happens if you shechted a paraduma and the behem acheresim at the same time? The Divyakol, then everybody would agree. Not only the Chachamim would agree, but even Reb Nosson, that is machshir by unintentional. He would not talk about unintentional. He would talk intentional. He wanted to go and check both, and he did a great job. What's it then? The Divyakol Psula. The Pora Aduma is possible. Why is the Pora Aduma possible? So you'll recall when we learned about Pora Aduma a couple of days ago in the Gemara says that if you're going to do multitasking at the same time that you're shechting the Pora Aduma, that will passel the Pora Aduma. And the Gemara learned it from two separate Mekoyrois. One is because it says, V'shachar oisa, and the Gemara says, oisa, v'loi oisa v'chaverta. It's got to be each animal individually, not coupled together with another one.
Does that fall under the whole chavilos thing?
There is certainly a sugi in Shas, which comes up a couple of times, the chavilas, but here we're just learning it based on exeris. The kosher, the Torah says, v'shachar isa, shecht each one individually, not accompanied by another one. Yes?
Yeah, but paraduma, mitaya.
Exactly, mitaya is tamein.
Is that to become tamein?
Is the other the chulin animal also pasul?
No, you did a kosher, you did a perfect.
So in the paraduma we're talking about pasul. Thank you.
Absolutely. So that's number one. Number two, the Gemara said back on Chof Tes Amid Beis that when it comes to paraduma upoislin oisa the malacha acheres. If you do another malacha at the same time, it pasuls the paraduma. Now, what means a malacha acheres? The Gemara said, even if you're talking about, for instance, that he went and he cut a chatichas dala'as at the same time, a gourd. Yeah. He was shechting, and he did such a good job, he also cut a gourd at the same time. If he did it intentionally, said the Gemara, that malacha acheres poislosa. Rashi today tells us the reason why it passes, because when you're doing paraduma, it's got to be with your whole das, and no Hesachadas. Hesachadas means that you're spaced out and thinking about other things. No, it's got to be totally focused on the Parah Aduma. After all, you don't check the Parah Aduma every day of the week. Right. So one that's checking it, he has to be thinking clearly about the Parah Aduma. Okay, so in the meantime, since he had in mind shechting another behemoth, he got kind of two strikes against the Parah Aduma. Number one, you're not being Mekayim v'shochet oisah. And number two, you're misiach das. How are you misiach das? Because you have to make sure that you're slicing properly both behemoths, not only the paraduma, but the other one. Because if you don't shecht it properly, one of them is going to go bad. It'll be possible. It won't be kosher, etc. So, give you a call. The paraduma is possible. Now, the ikar why we're bringing this is for the gemara here on the top of the omer aleph. And now we're talking about the same situation. But not that it was done intentionally, it was done unintentionally. He only wanted to shech the paraduma, but there was another cow that was standing nearby and saying, wow, holy cow. And that other cow was standing there, and then when he did the chita, he shechted both of them at the same time. Taprashi, beloy miskavin. Taprashi, beloy miskavin, that was not his intention.
But the other one wouldn't move.
Wouldn't move, exactly. Oh, shkoyach, that was great. So, nishchata behema acheres ima, right? The first case was shochat behema acheres ima. This is a positive assertion and intention. Here we're talking about nishchata, says Rashi, be loy miskaven. He did not intend to go and check the other one at all. He was an innocent bystander, but that's what happens when you get too close to the knife. So nishchata behema acheres ima l'rem nosin para psula behema ksheiro. According to Rem Nosin, the paraduma will be possible. The other behema will be kosher, responding to your question of before. Now, why is the para psula according to Rem Nosin? Explains Rashi. We said that there are two potential problems. You have the shochet oisav yes chaverta, and number two, because of being mistiach das. Says Rashi, you don't have to worry about hesach das if this was unintentional. I didn't intend going and shechting that behemoth. That behemoth just walked by whilst I was shechting the parah aduma. Since it's not my fault, I wasn't thinking about that. So the hesach das is not an issue over here. The issue, however, is v'shachar oisa v'yes chaverta. And since Rav Nosson holds that the shechita of an animal, regular animal, beloy kavana works, it's a good shechita. That was his halacha back when you threw the knife, noetza bekoisel, and then accidentally, unintentionally, an animal became geshocht and it's kosher. So once it's kosher, says our Gemara, according to Rav Nosson, that animal would be kosher. Unintentional nishkata behemoth, as Rashi blame is kav, and the other one is kosher. As a result of the kashus of that other animal, now that stares, that interferes and undermines the shechita of the paraduma. Why? Because we have violated the rule. B'shachet oisa, v'lo oisa v'yes chaverta. And I shechted chaverta. In fact, it's kosher. They're selling it in the meat market. That undermines the par, and the par now becomes possible. The Rabban is the other way around. Parak sheda behema psula. Because the Rabban requires absolute kavana when you're shechting a regular animal. And since he did not have kavana, that's why the behema is possible. Like we said on the Omer Aleph, that he threw the knife and not some kreisel, said the Rabban, it's possible. So this is also an unintentional shechting. It's possible. Since it's possible, there's no din now of a shachet oisav v'le oisav v'chaveta, because the other one was not a shechita. It may have looked like a shechita, it may have smelled like a shechita, but it wasn't a shechita because it wasn't big kavana. So therefore that shechita was possible. If that shechita is possible, that other behemoth taka is possible, meaning you cannot eat it. And vis-a-vis the part is kosher, because there was no undermining because of the v'le'oisev chavita. I didn't shecht chavita. I was, you know, whatever happened, happened, but that was a meaningless, non-halachically binding and effective shechit. Frank Gemara, this halacha of Rav is so poshit, pshita, I don't understand why he's telling us this. Anybody that knows the machlokes of Nosan and the Rabbanan could figure this out on their own. Setim, I'll tell you, there is a chiddush. Nishchata behema acheres l'Rav Nosan, it's tricholei. In the case where you shechted two behemas together, your regular behema, together with the, in other words, the paraduma behema, and that second behema. So what did we say here in the Sefer? That according to Reb Nosson, the para is possible, and the behema is kosher. And we said, what's the reason why? Because since the Torah says, shachar oisah, v'lei oisah, v'yes chaverta, I got a problem, because I did a shechita of chaverta. Says the Gemara, so kadaita chamina, I might have thought that the term chaverta has a much more precise and limited meaning. It doesn't mean chaverta any other behemoth in the world. We discriminate against animals. We categorize them all in one. They're all behemoths. How can you go and do that? This is a paraduma behemoth, and this is just, you know, an average, regular, back-of-the-bus type of behemoth.
A typical behemoth.
That the only time you violate the rule of a shachar oisav leoisav chaverta, if it's mamish chaverta that you're shechting two pareis adumais at one time, can you imagine? That's where the Torah says that is no good, and both of them are going to be possible. Abahima de chulin.
Because
you have to be
individual.
Very good.
It's a
para-para. Para-para, yeah. I would think that that's not within the category of a shachar oisav leoisav chaverta, and therefore it would not passel the shechita of the para-atuma. Kamashul on that it does passel. Oh, so that's why I need this rabbi to go and tell us this then, that when you're shechting another regular, ordinary animal, no paraduma, that is also considered to be chavrita, and that undermines and passels the shechita of the para-atuma.
The paraduma is passel as paraduma. Is it kosher as geshacht in a meat?
I think the answer is yes, but the Gemara doesn't address
okay.
That. Zok Gemara, finally. Chotach dalas ima divya kol psula. Instead of going and shechting another animal, what happens if he shechted the paraduma and at the same time he intentionally wanted to go and cut up this dalas? Dalas is a gourd. Why did he want to go and cut up the gourd? Because he's hungry. He wants to go and give it to his family to eat. Whatever, he decided to go and cut that gourd. Divya kol psula. Why is it possible? Obviously not because of oisiv yeschabita, but because of the problem of the hesachadas. At the time that you are going and shechting a paraduma, you have to think paraduma, paraduma, only you have to see red. Red heifer paraduma. Nothing else. And that's why we said in the Reisha, that in the first part of Rava, shochet par v'shochet behem acheres ima, everybody agrees that it's possible because he was mesiach das from the sole and exclusive shechita of the paraduma. Here, he's thinking about cutting the talas. There, he was thinking about cutting and shechting another animal. So everybody agrees it's possible. What happens, nechtach talas ima, what happens if it was an accident? As he's shechting the paraduma, somebody put a talas there, and the talas got geshochten also. Not geshochten, but it was cut up into pieces. What happens now with the paraduma? Everybody agrees it's kshera. Why is it kshera? There's no hesachadas problem. I wasn't thinking about this. I didn't even know that the glass was there until people brought it to my attention 10 minutes later. Oh, did you notice that you cut a glass? Was for the glass? I didn't see the glass. Nice. So there's no hesachadas. And there's no problem of b'shachad oisiv v'loy oisiv eschavata. Eschavata means another animal. It mean according to the Havamina, another paraduma. The Gemara said, no, another paraduma. Any animal is chavita.
Yeah, because how many paradumas are there?
Exactly right. But certainly, the las is not oisvi as chavita, so that doesn't pass. Everybody agrees.
Because
it's a kosher. Sorry?
Because it's not a full para?
Because it's not a behema. Right. If it would be shechting together with a paraduma, not a behema, that's where we had the machlekes. But here, what he's doing is cutting at the las, so therefore, since he did it unintentionally, I don't have a hesach hadas, and I don't have vishachar oisa, fully oisiv es chavita, and therefore it's a kosher paraduma. Baruch Hashem.
Did the last was born already?
The last is a gourd. Gourd is like a pumpkin, or like a squash, or something. It's okay, no problem. I make the same mistake all the time. I hear about gourds and I say, "Oh, it's a gourd." I think about an animal called a gourd. Okay.
Grace mentioned that
it's a last. Yeah. Oh, that's good to know. No. So on to the next mission. Zok the Mishnah Vayit. Now our mission is now going to address Shehiya. Remember the five psulim. We've discussed already Hagroma. We've discussed a little bit about Chalada, Derisa. Now we're going to focus on Shehiya. Shehiya means in the middle of shechting, you took a break. If the break is too long, that breaks the Shechita, and therefore it's a Nevela. On the other hand, if it's a very short break, then it's okay. Now the question is, how long is long and how short is short? A machloik is at our Mishnah, Zok the Mishnah. The Mishnah curiously comes up with three separate cases, not clear, say the Mefarshim, why we need it, but you'll see. Nofle Sakin, the Shoicher is shechting, and as he's shechting, unfortunately, the Sakin falls to the ground. No, these things happen. V'higbia, and he picked it up, and he continued shechting. But during that time that it fell to the ground until he picked it up, he lost a half a second, 3 seconds, 5 seconds, whatever. Or naflu kele v'higbian, as he's shechting, his yarmulke falls off, or his scarf falls off, or whatever. And he had to go down, and he picked it up, and he wore it again. Again, he lost 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. Or hishchus es hasakin, this sakin was a little bit dull, so he went and sharpened it, and he sharpened it to the point of off that he became quite weary and tired. And now, in the middle of the shechita, as he is slicing, I don't have the strength anymore. You know, I've spent the whole night and the whole day sharpening this messer, and now my arm, it doesn't slice anymore. But Yankel, please come over and shochet and finish off. No, till Yankel came over, again, there was a shehiya of 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. Question is, how long is a shehiya that it passes? A machlekes. Says the Tanakh Mishor, Kedei Shechita, if the amount of the shehiya was like the zman that it takes to shecht, what does that mean? We'll see in the Gemara in a moment. Psula, then it's possible. In other words, anything shorter than that, kosher. But once it's Kedei Shechita, possible. The shear is not a kadesha here of shechita. Imshua kadei bikur. Bikur means to go and inspect the knife. To go and inspect to make sure that it is perfect, no notches, no niches, sharp, etc.
Like bikur chametz.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to see that in Miyat Hashem Nigmar shortly. It's okay, it's fine. That's what he meant. Yeah. Anyway, Zukti Mori, it's my kadesha shechita. How long means kadesha shechita? The time that it takes to go and shecht another behema. Exactly. Now the question is, what is Rav telling us? I know kedei shechita means to go and shecht the behema. Says Rashi, he's telling us a chiddush. Let's take for example that a normal shechita takes 10 seconds. Doesn't it goes much much quicker? But let's assume it takes 10 seconds. He's now in the middle of the shechita and the sakin fell down. Or he's in the middle of the shechita and his yarmulke fell off, or whatever. So now, when did this happen? At the 5 second yardstick. Right? He already did half of the shechita, and 5 seconds already passed. It's going to take him another 5 seconds to finish. So, sol kedaita chamina, maybe when it says in the Mishnah, imshua kedei shechita, that if it took him an additional 5 seconds to pick up the knife or to pick up his yarmulke or something, that would passel the shechita. Says Yomar, no. It's kedei shechita behemacher. It's a full shechita from beginning to end, which means 10 seconds. Gesundheit. If you look at the Rashi right after the Mishnah, it's about 10 lines from the bottom before the wide lines of the Rashi. You see, it says Gemara, my kedei shehiya. Don't tell me that the amount is to finish off the shechita, which in our example means another 5 seconds. And if you went more than 5 seconds, it's strafe. No. You get the whole benefit of a full shechita from beginning to end, which is a 10-second period of time.
Does it make sense? If you have a knife that is not very sharp, that will take you a minute to do the shechita.
So what you ask is a good question. Apparently what our Gemara is talking about is that there's some objective standard as to how much time it normally takes a shechita to shecht your regular animal. Because you're right, you could have a situation where you have a very dull knife, and it could take you a long time. In fact, the Gemara is going to tell us shortly that Rava once shechted, or not that Rava did it himself, but he said a person who shechts with a dull knife, even if it takes a whole day to shecht, as long as he didn't put any pressure on, and as long as there were no niches or notches in the knife, it took him kol hayoyim kulay, it's kosher. We're going to have that another 10, 20 lines. We'll see now. Anyway, so that's Rav's Chiddush Kedei Shechita V'Hei Macheres. And now the Gemara asks the following question. Amri Le Rav Kana V'Rav Asi Le Rav. Kedei Shechitas Behema Le Behema. Yeah, I understand. He's shechting one Behema, and now it's the amount of time to go and shecht a full-fledged another Behema instead. Or Oif Le Oif. If we're talking about Oif, it goes very, very quickly because it has very thin little neck there, and in a quarter of a second, you're done. So I can understand that quarter of a second. Now the question is, maybe when it comes to Hilchoi Shechita, the din of Shehiya is such that it applies, one standard applies to all Shechitois, regardless of whether you're talking about that you're in the middle of Shechting a Behema, or you're Shechting an Oif. A Behema, let's say, takes 10 seconds as an example, and an Oif takes a quarter of a second. What happens if the knife fell down in the middle of the Shechitas Hu Oif? In other words, after 1/8 of a second, it only takes him another 1/8, and the knife fell down. So Rav said that you're going to add on the Isman of an entire Shechita. We say by Oif you get the benefit of the full 10 seconds of a Shechitas Behema, or maybe you only get another quarter of a second, which is a Shechitas Oif. That is what
the time of the Shechita.
Exactly right. So this is the Shaila that they pose to Rav. Now Rav, when he was younger, originally learned by his uncle, who was Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya was a double uncle, as Rashi points out. If you want to know exactly how that works out, you'll speak to Barry at the end of the year. He was both a paternal uncle and a maternal uncle. Anyway, so Omalahu, so Rav said, when I was learning Hilchos Treifus and Hilchos Shechita by my uncle Chavivi, my very beloved uncle Reb Chiya, that day he was in a bad mood, or I wasn't in a good mood, and we were not that friendly at the time that I should be able to go and ask this Shaila. I should have asked him, but I just couldn't make it to go and ask that Shaila. So therefore, based on my learning from Reb Chiya, I have no answer. But subsequently, I don't know whether it's a day later or a year later, but Itmar Omarav, Kirei Shechitas Behema L'Behema V'Oif L'Oif, that in fact, it was like the first tzad of the Iboya, that we don't give a greater window of opportunity by an Oif than by a Behema. Behema this year is to go and shecht a full-fledged other Behema, and by an Oif, a full-fledged other Oif. But a Shmuel Amra fill a Behema L'Oif, and therefore, according to Shmuel, you give him a little bit of a leniency, a kula, because the ganze Oif goes, take him out, it's done. If you just turn your eyes, or you close your eyes for a second, he's already finished shechting. Behema takes a little bit longer. Say Shmuel, you get the benefit of that longer period of time.
Fishy here. Because
the Oif is shorter. Much shorter. Exactly. Same thing. Reb Chananya on the side says, Reb Chanina Omar, Kedei Sheyoved Behema Acheres V'Yishchot. Go and bring another animal and shecht. Now, on the surface, that sounds very similar. And he brings another behema. What do you mean? Again, Reb Chanan, Reb Chanina said, Kedei Sheyoved Behema Acheres V'Yishchot. Freit Demar, Yovi Afilu Me'Alma. That means you even bring it, you're shechting here in New York, and you import another animal from New Jersey, it might take 6 hours with traffic until the animal gets here.
Sometimes it's too far to get to
Behemoth. Exactly.
On a barge.
Exactly. So Sata Vrechle Shiurim, based on this, it depends on where that other behemoth is, according to Rav Chanina, until you bring another behemoth from somewhere else. Amar Papa, now we mean Imedis Lahatil. We're talking about that animal is the next one online in the Shlachtois to go and Shecht very, very soon. So Frey Timura, so Ibazoi, so what is the Nafkimina? What's the Machloikis here? Each one of them, the previous Gemara said, according to Rav and according to Shmuel, Shechitas Behema Le Behema. What means Shechitas Behema Le Behema? Kedei Shechitas Behema Acheres. To go and check another one. Said Rav Chanina, no. The shear is, Kedei Sheyavi Behema Acheres V'yishchai. Not Yavi from across the street or from New Jersey. You talk about it standing online there. It's standing online. So what's the machlokes between the two? Zog the Gemara. What's an nafkimina? I'm marav mishmeid Reb Yosef Reb Chanina kedeshiag biyena viyar bitzena viyishchait daka ledaka vegasa legasa. He said, no, there is an nafkimina. According to the Mandiyoma that says what we started off Rav kedeshchitas behemacheres means that the behema is all ready for shchita. It's already on the ground and the neck has already been extended. All we're waiting for is that the Shechit comes, bends over, takes his knife, and slices it. How long does that take? 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever. This new pshat, this new zman of Rav Chanina, which means that the behemah is standing there. Oh, but you can't just go and say, behemah, you ready? We're going to shecht you. Got to take the behemah, pick it up, turn it upside down, put it on the ground, extend the arms, the legs, make sure that it's not kicking all over, and now you can go and shecht it. So that might take a minute, it might take 2 minutes for the preparation. So that's the nafkimina between the two shiurim, legabe, picking it up, putting it down on the floor, and getting it ready for shechita.
Is this why you're shorter or longer?
Sorry, once again?
No, by delaying shechita, what's the story behind the malikas? What's the story behind it?
I don't think it's Svaris as much as you know, Shehiyah and the other four are all Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. So I think the Machloikis is, what was the Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu? Did he give one standard shear of behema for both behemas and oifis, or was it behema and behema, and oif and oif? And even behema itself, was it the shear of shechting another behema that's ready, willing, and able to be yishachdin, or you also go and fold into it the hachonis of getting the behema ready to be yishachdin. So I think that's the machlokes. What's up there?
Chilufin.
Exactly, chilufin. Yes, Robert.
We are talking about turning a big behema to the ground.
Right.
Turn him over with his saber facing the knife.
Right.
I mean, this can take a half an hour, you know, they overpower a huge behemoth that weighs an ox that weighs 80 to 100 kilos.
Robert, if that's how long it takes, that's how long it takes. In other words, according to Reb Chanina that says that the Oimedes Lahatel, the one that's next online, ready to be geshochten, you're right. If in fact a huge ox, that's how long it takes, that would be this manch here for oxen.
Gewaltige chidush, because we are talking about quite a length of time of here.
Okay, have you ever been to a Shlachtos?
No.
The people that pick up the animal are not people like you and me that, you know, we have difficulty.
Now today, there are machines that do it. It's
yeah, no, I'm talking
I'm
about.
Talking with
I saw it in Eretz Yisrael where they didn't. I don't know, but today I saw it, you know, before you were born. We're talking about 50 years ago or so. And I remember the animal, they had two Azocha Chevrolat, you know, Gavra Alim, strong guys, and they took an animal, they put it upside down. It didn't take a half an hour. If it took more than a minute or two, then they were having a bad day. They're talking about very, very strong guys, and they have a technique, and they know how to do it, and they do this, you know, 100 times a day. They turn the animal up. Okay, anyway, it is what it is. Whatever the shear it is, and daka ladaka, gasa lagasa, in a chanami. So it's not only a chilik between behema and oif, but even with the behema category itself, if you're shechting a shepsala, to go and turn the shepsala over is much easier than turning over a large ox or cow. Okay.
So, oaf to oaf would also be then this. So, gasa, gasa, daka, daka, and oaf to oaf.
Well, we said oaf already been before. I'm already paskin that.
Okay.
Itma omarav, lishkiz, beimelav. Beimelav, oif, oif. Shmuel disagreed and said beimelav. Omarav, hashaycha besakid roth. This is what we mentioned already earlier, and we mentioned already a few times, that although a sakin has to be smooth, and certainly if it's nice and sharp, it's going to go very quickly, but what happens if you had a smooth knife, but it was a dull knife? It had been used already 1,000 times. There are no niches, no notches, nothing to worry about in terms of ikur, in terms of tearing the simanim. It's very, very, very nice and smooth, but it's not sharp. Even if it takes him a whole day back and forth, it's kshedah, it's still kosher. Boy, Rava. So Rava asks, "Shehiyo is maushi itzarful." What means shehiyo is maushi itzarful? Again, let's assume for argument's sake, behema shehiyo is 10 seconds for mushul. So he's in the middle of shechting, the yarmulke falls off. He quickly puts his yarmulke on, and they time it. It only took 3 seconds altogether. And then, as he continues shechting, guess what? The knife falls down, and then they pick it up quickly, and takes another 4 seconds. So
is
now
it's cumulative.
That's the Gemara Shaila. Is it cumulative?
If it is.
Oh, so this happens 3 or 4 times. Each shahiyah on its own is only 3 seconds, 2 seconds. And we said that shahiyah, we give as an example, is 10 seconds. But do you go and add them all? 3 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5 plus 6. And now we have a long shahiyah. Maushi it's tarfu to go and pasal the shchita. Break tomorrow, tip shalom in the day. Why is Rabbi asking the Shaila? After all, 1 second ago, or 10 seconds ago, depending on his mancha here, Rabbi already said, and the Gemara assumes, says Rashi, if he's going the whole day back and forth, he must have at least 2 or 3 times during that Shechita taken a break in terms of his yarmulke fell down, or his takin fell down, or he quickly took a drink, or whatever. And therefore, wouldn't you think over an entire day that you would have shehiyos, which would be mitztarif? And nevertheless, Rava said it's kosher. Afli marahasim b'deloisha. And talking about that this person was very, very diligent, and he's shechting back and forth again and again and again, and Baruch Hashem, the yarmulke didn't fall down, and the sakin didn't fall down, and he didn't take a drink, and he didn't have to go to the biskisi the whole time, just go straight, straight, straight. So there was no shehiyah whatsoever. So therefore you have no raya to answer this shaila. But the shaila still remains. What would be the din? Shehiyos are the mitztarif, yes or not? The Gemara is not poshut that child. And now the Gemara asks yet another shaila. What does that mean? He's already shechted roiv of the animal. Roiv, not of the animal, the roiv of the two simanim of the konan veshet. And the rabbi standing there said, perfect job, kusha, kusha, we're done. However, he said, I like to do rubai kekulai. And he keeps on doing rubai kekulai. And between the rubai and the kulai, in other words, that final 30%, 40% that he was shechting, there he made a shehiyah. The question is that a problem? So what's the shaila? On the one hand, you would say, it's kosher already, after all, he already did right, we're finished, geshachten. It's like going and slicing any other part of the animal, and no problem, already done. Exactly. Or do I say, what's Rabbi Cohen? He keeps on shechting and says, no, I'm not finished yet, you know, give me a chance. So, and he keeps on shechting, and then he makes a shehiyah. Does that passel, yes or no? Say, tomorrow, teiku, we got to wait for Elio and Duffy. So the best thing is, once you finish roiv, stop. Don't continue shechting, because you might have a problem of shehiyah. Vayti gemar. Rav Shimon oimim shah kedei bikur. My kedei bikur means bikur. We don't mean over here bikur cholim. So what bikur do we mean? We mean the bikur, the bedika of the sakin. Rav Yochanan kedei bikur shel chacham, as we learned earlier on in our mesachta, the minhag was that they would always go and show the chacham the sakin, at least the first time when they bought a brand new sakin, they would show it to the chacham, and the chacham would feel it to make sure it's really done beautifully. So now Zokti Yimara, if that's Kedei Bikur, that you show the sakin to the Chochem might live across the street, but he might live across town. If he lives across the street, it'll take you a minute to run over. Make sure that you don't get run over in running across the street. But that's a minute. If it's the other side of town, it could take you half an hour. So he bazoi Zokti Yimara, imkin esatav rechli shiurim. El Kedei Bikur Tabach Chochem, that we're saying that the Tabach, in other words, the Shoichin himself, he happens to be a baki in the Hilchoiz Bedika Sasakin. He knows how to do it either in the Shemesh or in the Mayim or Kechutasara or on his bisra, on his lishne, on his tufra, like we had in the Gemara before. See, he knows it perfectly. And now what the Gemara is saying is, how long of a shehiya pasuls? As long as it would take for that chacham, for that shoichet, to pick up the sakin and check it out from top to bottom. How long does that take? I don't know, 5 seconds, maybe 20 seconds, maybe a half a minute. Whatever that shear is, that would be the shear that if he was shoheh longer than that in the middle of the shechita, pasuls the shechita. On to the next mishnah. Zok to mishnah vayter. Now we're going to go and talk further about shehiyos, as well as chaloda, as well as other psulim, as you will see. The major mission or
focus,
thank you, of this mishnah is when he messes up in the shechita, does it become a nevela or a trefa? Now, for us, there's really no halachic significance of the difference between a nevela and a trefa. You cannot eat either one, if it's an avela or a trefa. But in the times of Chazal... Sorry?
Because we want to reduce the level from the avela to trefa.
Why is that better to reduce from the avela to trefa?
It's a big difference, because the avela also metame...
Very good. Reb Shulam Shkoyach, you're on the ball, as always.
The, yeah.
Exactly. A nevela is worse than a trefa, not in terms of eating, but in terms of being metame b'maga u'b'masa. Any animal which is a nevela. Nevela, typically we think of an animal that just died, you know, walking down the street and it died. But a nevela could also be that you shot the animal and it died, and it could also be that you did an improper shechita. You thought you're doing a great job, but you didn't. You did a drisa, you did a chalada, you did a shehiyah. All of those passel the animal, and not only does it become a trefa that you can't eat it, it also becomes a nevela. If it's a nevela, then it's metame. You touch it, oh yeah, yeah, you become tame. Okay, so now getting to our mishnah. Shochet es haveshet. The shochet es shechting the veshet, which of course is the esophagus, that is the food pipe. Upasek es hagageres. And as he's doing so, he didn't shecht the gageris, but posak, he tore the gageris. In other words, he did a poor job with the shechita knife, and instead of slicing it nicely, unfortunately, he tore it, or the other way around. Posak is a gageris, he tore the gageris, the yakach shochet es haveshet. Same thing, but just in reverse order. Note parenthetically, here it says in our Mishnah, the achar kach, some of you may have next to that a vav or a zayin or some other small little letter, to take out that bachakach, that we're not goreis that. Why are we not goreis it? You'll see that'll become important as we go into the amud base. On the surface, it's really no difference whatsoever. Just like the reisha, he shechted the veshet first, did a great job, pasig ageres, but he tore the other simon, that's the kana. And v'shochet es haveshet. Same thing, just the reverse, and take out the word v'yachkach, really a couple of words. So oiposek es hageres, he first tore the gageres, the kona, and then shechted the veshet. Oi, new case, shochet echen mehen, the himten lo ad shemesa. He only shechted one out of the two simonim, and then said, what do I have to go and strain myself to go and shech the other one? Anyway, the animal's about to die, the himten lo ad shemesa, and it died. Oi, sheheklit is a sakin tachas hasheni. He went and took the sakin. Instead of shechting it from the top, he borrowed under the simonim. In this case, under the second of the simonim. In other words, the first one he did fine, but the second one he cut it instead of milmala lemata. He cut it milmata lemala in upwards position. In this way, he cut it. This is a problem of chalada. So in all of these cases, he did something improper in the shechita. Rabbi Shev of Oimer, since he messed up in the shechita, it's a nevela, and it's mitame. Rabbi Kiv Oimer, no, it's only a trefa. Not more, no more, no less. As we look to Rabbi Kiv, so far. Klal Amr Rabbi Shev, that same Rabbi Shev that said in nevela, Rabbi Shev said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, kol shenifzachob, shenifzala, bishchitasa, nevela. Kosh chitasa keroy the dover acher garam la li pasul it's a treifa. It's a fundamental difference, very simple rule of thumb. If the psul is as a result of the shechita, he messed up in the shechita, instead of shechting both siman, he only shechted one, and the other one he tore apart, and he did an ikur, or one of the two siman, he did a chaloda, or he only did one, and let the other one just die on its own, that's a psul in the shechita itself, then it's in the veda. However, the shechita was perfect. He did a great job. But there's another problem with this animal. It has a hole in the heart. It has a hole in the lungs. It has holes in bnei me'ayim, in the krumshul moyach. And nothing to do with the shechita. It had a pre-existing tarfus.
It's a holy animal.
It's a holy animal. So then, let's say, it's a treifa. And guess what? Ultimately, Rabbi Kiva said, Rabbi Shevav, you're right. I agree with you. If it's a psul in the shechita, it has a status of a nevela. So therefore, bottom line, we finished the Mishnah. Everybody agrees, nevela, nevela.
So,
yeah, what's the problem?
The Tanakhama, is there someone who's cholik on this? A kosher shechita on a treifa animal always is metaria from nevela. Does anybody argue with that? I mean, we're saying, Rabbi Sheva is saying the name of, it's nevela.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yes, I'm saying when if it we learned already that a shechita is mitar midei nevela.
When
it's only a treifa because of
no. When it's a kosher shechita. Kosher shechita,
I see,
accomplishes two purposes. Number one, that you can now eat from the meat.
Right.
The kosher. And number two, it's mitar midei treifa. That if it was a treifa, and therefore. Mitar, meaning it takes away the possibility of it becoming tameh.
Right.
Until now, I knew it was a treifa, or I didn't know it was a treifa,
right.
And we shechted it, and the shechita was perfect. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, I find that there's a sirch in the lung, and everybody agrees. Sorry, it's his non-kosher. He did a great shechita, but it's a treifa. Is it now mitameh? The answer: no. It's mitaharis midei treifa and nevela. Why? Because it was a kosher shechita. All of the cases of our Mishnah talking about it was a non-kosher shechita.
I see.
Because Pasuk can say Geres.
Thank you.
No problem. Anyway, Sezokti Marietz. Shachar is Aveshet. V'hoidu l'Rabbi Kiva. And therefore, everybody agrees in unison that it's Nevela. I got a problem. Or mini Elu Treifis B'Behema. That's going to be the next parak of Yet Hashem. And the name of the next parak is Elu Treifis. And if you take a quick look, what are the first two Treifis on Daf Mem Beis? Nekuvas aveshet upsukas hagargeris. If the gargeris was nifsika means it was halfway. By veshet, it's in one nekev. By gargeris, psuka, it's got to be cut lerochba or the orka. Rashi said psuka lerochba beruba. Then it becomes treif. Back in our Mishnah, we're talking about Pasuk is HaGageres, Shachar is Aveshet. Pasuk Geres, that was number two. Or Pasuk Geres and Shachar is Aveshet, number one. But bottom line, that's Pasuk is HaGageres. And that Mishnah says it's Treif. Our Mishnah says everybody agrees it's an Avela. Don't they have a steer of two Mishnayas? Oy, what's going on? Or a mini? Hey, we're Treif is Vibahima. Luku is Aveshet, Pasuk is HaGageres. Says Tap Rashi. Alma treifa hiva lav nevela. Since Chozer by Rabbi Kiva agreed that it's nevela, right? It says at the end of the Mishnah, Bahugel Rabbi Kiva, it's nevela. So who's the town of the Mishnah in Eilu treifa that it says it's a treifa and it's kind of nevela? Make up your mind. What's going on? So the Gemara is going to struggle with this the entire end of today's, from here to the bottom of the Umid Beis and into the Umid Aleph of tomorrow. And the Gemara is going to give three or four possible tirutz, as you'll see.
The
Nachman? Psuk zageres means that it was ripped or torn, as opposed to gishacht. And that is considered to be a fatal defect in the animal.
After the shechita.
But our Mishnah is talking about during the shechita. That shochet is aveshet, a pasuk zageres, a pasuk zageres, the akash shochet is aveshet. So it's talking about at the time of the shechita. There it's talking about just in general. That you took the animal to the veterinarian, he did an MRI, met all the other fancy stuff that they do, and they said, oh, you have no idea what I found there in the neck area. In the veshet, there's a small little hole. Oy, bye, bye. It's treif. But in the kana, I found a hole. Well, that hole is gunish. But it was halfway slit. Oh, halfway slit, and it's a treif. As we stated in the Mishnah. So in our case, in the Mishnah, it says that it's an avela. So I said, make up your mind. Amar Rava, loy kasha. So Rava gives first, we're going to have three or four answers. First Teretz is loy kasha. Can't you shochet the psoif pasak? Can't you pasak for the psoif shochet? It depends the order. Did the shechita come first and the psika come second, or did the psika come first and the shechita was second? Now the shochet and pasak, as you know, in our Mishnah, shochet means he shechted the veishet, and the pasak is going on the gargaris, on the kana, on the windpipe. So our Gemara says it depends what the order was. Was shechita first, and then you tore, unfortunately, the shechita tore the windpipe, the simen, or was it the other way around? Pasak v'psoif shechet. And now the Gemara explains. Shechet v'psoif pasak, if you shechted it first, nifsalas b'shechita. This was part and parcel of the shechita, and since this took place during the shechita, it's an aveila. However, pasak v'psoif shechet, if first there was a psikas hagageris, so therefore it was already treif, like we had in the Mishnah right on Daf Membeis, v'psoif shochet, and only after that did he shecht. Even though, says Rashi, we're talking about in the same sitting, or the same standing, that the shochet first was poisik es hagageris, and then he shecht. As soon as the poisik hagageris, it's already treif. Ah, skitover acher, gorem lali pasul dami. So it's like an outside force that causes this animal to be pasul. It's not because of the shechita, because even prior to the shechita of the veishet, he was already pasak. Oh, in such a case, it's treifa, like the Mishnah says, on Daf Membeis. Now, this teretz on the surface makes sense. However, it doesn't shtim with the text of our Mishnah. Why doesn't it shtim? Take a look at the Mishnah again. We started off, shechet es haveshet, upasak es hagageres. Pasak es hagageres, v'shechet es haveshet. So both cases we're talking about our Mishnah. Not only a case where he first shechted and then it was poisik, but even it was poisik and after that shechted, everybody agrees that is a nevela. But you just said now that the other Mishnah, Eilu Treifus, is talking about poisik zegeris first, and then shechted zaveshet, then it's kedover acher dummy, and therefore it has the status of a treifa. So the choy, this teretz doesn't, is meaningless. So if I timor esfer of acher barhuna lirav. Look at our Mishnah. Shachar is a veshit, a posik is gageris. Posik gageris, take out the achakaf. Posik gageris, v'shachar es a veshit, nevela. So what do I see from this? I see that it makes no difference what the order was. So your teretz rav is, well, our Mishnah is talking about shachar, let's say posak, so therefore it's b'shas ha-shchita, therefore it's a nevela. Yeah, our Mishnah is talking about posik, but it's shachar, it's like dover acher, and therefore it's a treifa. Our Mishnah is talking about both cases, my friend. Shachar is a veshit, bazegeres, and shachar is a veshit. And for the Gemara, Eima, what we have to do is make a small emendation in the Mishnah. And that is, in the second case, where it says, Pasak is a gageres, v'shachat es a veshit, it's talking about, ukvar shachar es a veshit meikara. You have to reread that second case of the Mishnah, and not only reread it, but also amend it, either physically or at least in your mind. And that what was the case? It says pasuk is a gageres, and don't say shachar is a veshet. No, pasuk is gageres. After he had already shechted the veshet, then he was pasuk is a gageres.
Wasn't that the first case?
A malay shtei tshuvas bedavar. This teretz that you just gave is a very difficult teretz. That's exactly the first case of the Mishnah. It says shachat and v'lipsayf pasak. And you're telling me that the second case of pasak and then after that shachat, it doesn't really mean it's kvar shachat. He already shachted from before. That was the case from before shachat. So you're just repeating yourself twice. V'oid and nochakasha. You have to change it, not hotanan. Hotanya, in the Braisa, when it expands and expounds on our Mishnah, it says befeidish v'acharkach. It doesn't just go and say that pasuk is a gegeres, the shochet is a veshet. It says pasuk gegeres, the achakach shochet is a veshet. So achakach is very clear. First he did gargeres, and then only afterwards. So you can't go and say it's talking about that he already did the shechita from before. So the ma'isa it says the achakach in our Mishnah too. So why does he have to bring from a braisa elsewhere? So that's why we're saying when we're learning the Mishnah, put the achakach in parentheses because lechoyra. It says Beferish in our Mishnah, I don't have to go and bring a Rai from another Braisa somewhere that is a Viachkach. Our Mishnah tells us a Viachkach. So obviously, our Mishnah did not have that Viachkach, and that's why in the side, back on the Omer Aleph, in the Goyes Vitzionim, it says, take out the Viachkach. Okay. So therefore, this Teretz falls away. El Omer Rava, I have a brand new Teretz. Eilu Asuris Ketanim. Go back to that Mishnah on Daf Membeis, And don't read the Mishnah Eilu Treifos and then start off about the Kuvas Aveshet and Psikas Agakeres, but read Eilu Asurois Ketoni. And therefore, you not only have to change the word there at the beginning on Daf and Beis, but every single Daf thereafter, when it says Eilu Treifos, go and amend and write Eilu Asurois. Take out the Treifos.
The name of the chapter.
The whole name of the chapter instead of Eilu Treifos. Now it's Eilu Asurois. Now, what does the Mishnah say? The Yeshman Nevelos, the Yeshman Treifos. The first two, which is the Nekiv in the Veshet, and the Psikos HaGageres, those are Nevelos. That's our Mishnah. That's unanimous. Rabbi Shevov together with Rabbi Akiva. And that Mishnah also agrees the same thing, those are Nevelos. And the other 16 afterwards, that Mishnah lists 18 Treifos altogether. First two are Nevelos, the other 16 are Treifos. Frey Timara, so you're telling me that Mishnah is trying to give you kind of a sum total, a collection of all Nevelos and Treifos. V'lechshu namid d'chizkiah, d'yam chizkiah asor gistra nevela. V'lechshu namid d'rabluza, d'yam rabluza, not liyerech v'chalal shelah is nevela. These are gemaras that we had already back on Daf Chof Aleph, where it said that Chizkiah said that if you take an animal and you go and slit it from the, for instance, from the chazir, from the chest area, down to the tail area, both whether it's in the front or in the back, this animal, even if it's still technically alive and kicking, and even if it can stand up and it can say moo a few times, like Brother Shelley told us before, what's the status? It has a din of nevela. It's already mitama b'maga u'b'masa. So let it say that in the Mishnah too, that halach of Chizkiah, so gistra nevela. Let's also tell us the halach of Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer says, nitli yerech v'chalal shula. What does that mean? It means that the animal unfortunately lost a leg, and it is so bad that there's nothing left of the leg so that you can see into the hollow of the animal. There's no stump left over. The whole leg, the ganze yerech, the whole thigh, and the bottom, all nebuch, was severed, amputated, fell off, whatever happened. And you can look into the animal itself. You don't need an x-ray machine. You don't need an MRI. You say, oh, you see, nebuch. Okay, so what's the status of Rabbi Lozer? Nevela, it's a nevela. This animal cannot exist, cannot live. Maybe it'll live for another hour or two. Maybe it'll live for another day. But it's a goner. And therefore, it's already now, it's dead meat, even though it's alive. And it's matamim and nevela. So Zokti Yimara, so why don't we add those two as well to the Mishnah? So until we had this teretz of Rava, that Mishnah is Eilu Treifos, it's not Eilu Nevelos. But now the Rava says, recoin that Mishnah and the whole perek as Eilu Asurois, and we're listing both Nevelos and Treifos, and we'll throw these two in as well. Everything more, kiketoni nevela delim matamim mechayim, and nevela matamim mechayim loy ketoni. That Mishnah is only telling us the normal, regular cases of nevelos. What means a nevela? A nevela means that the animal is dead. Everybody knows the halacha is a dead animal. It's metama magu masa. The chiddush of Chizki and Reb Lozer is that you can have, this is a good trivia question, you ask someone, how can you have a live animal that is metame? Normally animals, live animals cannot become tame. Human beings, lahavdil, because we happen to be in an elevated form of life, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, we can become tame. But an animal cannot become tame when it's alive. Of course, after you shecht it, of course it can become tame if it touches a nevela, touches a sheret, it touches a dead person, whatever. So the Gemara says, here you have a nevela, the metama mechaim. These two animals, both the gistra animal of Chizkiah and the nitli yerech animal of Reb Lozer, they are ready metamim mechaim as nevela. This novel halacha is not codified in that Mishnah. That Mishnah is just talking about normal, regular cases, not these types of exceptional, unique cases. Okay, so the Gemara has this first teretz, that Mishnah is in fact not an Eilu Treifos Mishnah, it's an Eilu Asurois Mishnah, and this case of the Sikas HaGageres, according to everybody, is taka nevela, not a treifa, like we learned in our Mishnah. So that's teretz number one. Teretz number one that Gemara says is a good teretz. We had already in teretz number one at the top, but the Gemara dismissed that teretz because it's a diachakach and can't say it's faker, like we said before. Okay, new teretz now. Reb Shimon Lakish Amar, kan shishocha memokim chatach, kan shishocha shaloi memokim chatach. Oh, we have over here in a situation, both our Mishnah is talking about that there was a psikas hagageres, meaning that the gageres got torn and ripped. In our Mishnah it says, oh, it's a din of nevela. And that Mishnah in Daf Mem Beis said a din of treifa. says Rav Shimon Lakish, when the Shoichet realized that he had torn the Gargaris, he says, well, I know Hilchot Shechita is, you got to go and shecht both of the Simanim. So he shechted both Simanim, not only the Veshet he shechted, but he also shechted the Gargaris, which he had previously ripped apart, or which he had subsequently ripped apart. It doesn't matter whether it was before or after, right? Amisha talks about both cases. First Shechita on Veshet, and then Pasuk Gargaris, and Pasuk Gargaris, and Shechet as a Veshet. What the Mishnah left out is that he also shechted the Gargaris. Where did he shecht that Gargaris? Question is, did he shecht it on the spot where he had previously torn it, or did he go up a half an inch or go below it half an inch, and then he did a beautiful severing of that Gargaris? So, kan shechach m'mokim chatach, kan shechach shalom m'mokim chatach. Chatach m'mokim chatach, if he shecht it on the very same place that he was previously ma'aker, that he was posak, the nifsal b'shchita. So that's a psul in the shchita itself. Psul in the shchita, we already said, it's an avela. That mishnah there in Mesechtis, and not Mesechtis, but in Perek, Elu Treifis, is talking about that he saw that the gargaris was nebuch nifsak, and then he shechted the gargaris higher up or lower down. Shaloi b'makom chatach. And after that, after he was finished shechting the whole thing, then the rabbis take a look and they say, oh, look at that kana, the severing that he did of that shechita, perfect. But don't you see it's ripped there and it's torn? Ooh, he didn't even realize it's torn. So that had nothing to do with the shechita, that, you know, it's like any other psul tarfis that was there before or after the shechita. I say after because he was shechita at the first one, he didn't check the second one yet. Anyway, the point is, that had nothing to do with the shechita. He shechted it perfectly. There was a pasak higher above, higher or lower on the kana. Well, so therefore, our mishnah, since he shechted it, the mokchatach, it's a shechita psul. Shechita psul that we have in the veil. There it's talking about a separate psul that is psikos hakegeres, and he shechted above or below, so therefore it's a treifa and not a neveil.
That's only because the kana, if it's less than 50%, it's not considered a psul. Right.
That's correct.
That's the reason?
No, but here we're talking about that in fact it was 50%. 50%. So therefore, according to that other Mishnah, it's a treifa. According to our Mishnah, it's a nevela. And never the twain shall meet. Is it a nevela or a treifa? So Rav Shimon Lakish, after he went and posak halfway, 50%, then he went and shechted on that mokum itself. He goofed, so to speak, in the shechita. He was the one that caused this posak against. Doesn't mean he did it intentionally. He unfortunately made a boo-boo in some way, shape, or form. And as a result, unfortunately, he messed up. But then he tried to correct himself by shechting on that same space. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, my friend, since it's a psul in the shechita, as it did in the veil. If he shechted higher or lower than that mokum of posak, then that's a psul mitam dover acher. That's a din of a treifa, not a din of a veil.
I'm still struggling with how you make it a treifa once you already have this psul.
You try to fix it up.
How you repair it? How are you repairing it? But in all these cases, you already had it. How can you say?
Again, as you know, many of these things are perhaps theoretically never happened. Yeah. But were it to happen, he is shechting very nice to the veshet, and he happens to have at the same time a long fingernail because he's hoping to do malika of oifis in the Beis Hamikdash. And as he's shechting, unfortunately, that nail tore the kana as he shecht. Oy, what did I do? Oy, 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 oy. We're not going to go worry about it now. Let's first finish off the shechita, and then we'll go and inspect it. I don't want to be guilty of shehia, so let's finish it off. So then they finished it off, and they discovered, oy, 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 taka, that his fingernail, taka, did a terrible job of ikur, of destroying that gagas. So now what happened? If he shechted over this very same spot, right, says Ahmed Gemara, that's an avela problem. If he shechted higher or below, but then we discovered that it has that rib, then it's a treifa problem, and that's a treifa in
Daphne. It's not logical to me.
You don't like the text. Well, the Gemara is going to challenge the text.
Okay.
And not only today, it's going to challenge it tomorrow too. In fact, we're going to start tomorrow and ask, according to Shimon Lakish, how does he learn that way? So we're not done.
Okay.
Anyway, continuing on to the Gemara, how am I going to be happening to As we all know, after a person shechs the animal, this is bezmanazeh, the yom hein bezmanazeh, the shoychet shechted the animal, the very first thing that they do is they take the animal into a special lung room where they take the lung out of the animal and they go and blow it up with a special blowing machine, and then the reya now becomes full, now extended, etc.
Inflated.
And then inflated, oh, that's the right term. Inflated, and now the shochet and the bodeh take a look over the entire reya to make sure that there are no holes. If they hear a sizzling, they know there's a hole, just like in a balloon, right? If you ever blow up a balloon.
A tire, change a tire, and they see if it bubbles underwater.
Exactly. Exactly. So we have you always have to go and check.
Then it becomes glatt kosher, no?
If there's no sircha, then it's glatt kosher, correct. If there's a sircha, then it depends. Okay. Sometimes it's still kosher, not glatt, and sometimes it's no good at all. It's an available trade, so you got to go and give it, sell it to the goyim, you sell it for dog meat, or whatever. Anyway, back to the Imar. So, Omer Shimon Lakish, Shachle Sekani, he did a great job in the Kano, and before he shechted the veishit, the gachkach nikva horeya. There was a hole in the hole in the lungs happened now. Now I know everybody's going to say, how did it happen between the kana? I don't know. But if it were to happen between the kana and the veishit, theoretically, if it happened, mikvah haraya, says Reb Shimon Lakish, it would be kosher. Why would it be kosher? He didn't finish the shechita yet. He's still getting ready to do the veishit. He's slicing away. And because mikvah haraya, how is that possible? Zokti Mora.
The connection between the pipe and the air.
Exactly. Reb Shulam, you're really on top of it. I'm so impressed. Alma kiman de mancha bedikula damya. The svara is that since the reya is connected to the kana, and since in the kana he already did a beautiful job in slicing through the kana, so the kana is no longer a concern. I don't have to shecht it anymore. It's done. Ah, so it's as if I took the kana out of the animal to leave more room for the shoychet to shecht the veishit. Of course, I'm not going to do that. If I do that, I'm going to be over on shehiyah. But it's as if you took the whole kana out, and the kana, as you know, extends to the reya, because that's how the ear gets into the reya and the lungs in the first place, through the kana. It's as if you took the whole thing out, and you put a bidikula into a basket, and you say, this is already done. I don't have to worry about it. Of course, I have to go and check it to make sure that there is no neck of it. However, it's done. It's already removed from the animal. And now you just have to make sure that the veishit is gishocht and prop. But now Reb Shimon Lakish adds one more shtickle over here. He says that even now, after I shechted the kana, and now there's a hole in the reya, I didn't finish the shechita yet. Good. If this nekev would have been the reya prior to the shechita, everybody would agree that this would be an animal which is not kosher. It's treif. She and the veili, yon nish, but it's only treif because it is a hole in the reya. That's one of the 18 enumerated in Daf Mem Bet. Sorry? It would be a full-fledged treif. Right? No question about it. It's on Daf Mem Bet.
Yeah.
Among all those 18, one of them is a nikeva treif. If you know those who don't believe me, we can take a look. On Daf Mem Bet, Omid Aleph, Eilu treif is bebehema. Kuvis Aveshim, Sukkas Agiris, skip three lines. Fifth line of the Mishnah, Horei Yosha Nikva. You have a Yereya that has a neck, it has a hole in the lungs. Treif, Eilu Treif. Ah, Zoy Bazoy, here instead of the hole hitting the lungs prior to the Shechita of the Shechita, it happened in the middle,
yes,
between the Kana and the Veshet.
It was before, except it after, it doesn't make any difference, no connection.
There's one problem with that. Reb Shimon Lakish said, Yesh Tchila Ela B'Sof. So the animal's not geshachtin yet. So does it matter he cut the kana? If he didn't cut the veshit yet, the animal's still technically alive.
You're trying to tie this into the other Gemara with the whole
Yesh Tchila Ela B'Sof. Reb Shimon Lakish was going to say,
Your question is a question. We'd have to think about it. But for purposes of our Gemara, the Gemara doesn't go into that machlekes. All the Gemara says now is that since the neck of the reya happened post kana, pre veishit, automatically kosher. So when I take out the rayon, I'm going to go and blow it along, and I'm going to go and inflate it, and I can find five holes. If all of those holes happened post shechitas kana, no problem. Now, what is the svara behind this? If the neck of the ray would have happened after both of the shechita, in other words, both after the kana and the veishit, then of course it doesn't matter. It's like
cutting chopped meat.
Exactly. You're cutting off pieces of meat after you already shechted it properly. Here the chiddush is that the nekev happened in between the kana and the veishit. So what's the reason why it's kosher? says Igmar Alma, must be because command the manchamit kuladam. Once you severed the kana successfully, you did a beautiful shchita. So it's as if you now raised and took out the whole kana with all of the attachments, meaning the ray, and you took it out, and this is already done perfectly. So now any neck that happens to the reya, it's already la'achra masa, like cutting up chopped meat, like you said before. Zokim ha'almi, kiman de mancha b'dikul adam, yehochanami, why don't you say over here too? Kiman de mancha b'dikul adam, yeh. What does that mean? On the tzad that Reb Shimon Lakish says, on the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis. But if you want in shechted it, shaloi b'mokim ha'chatach, what status does it have as a status of, it's a treifa and not an avela. Frey Timura, why should it be even a treifa? Why don't you say, kiman de mancha b'dikul adam, yeh? As long as you went and shechted the veshit properly, even though there was a problem with the kana, who cares? Why don't you just look upon it as if it happened post the shechita, and therefore why don't you say it's like you put it into a basket and it should be kosher? Hello, Rabbi Chiya Barab, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Leikasha. Kan koydim chazora, kan achazora. Rabbi Chiya Barab says, I have a much, much simpler tarot. You don't have to talk about mokum shechita, not the mokum chatach. Very, very simple. That Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis is talking about Koidim Chazor, meaning before Reb Akiva changed his mind. And our Mishnah, remember, Reb Akiva initially said, Treifa, Treifa, Treifa. And at the end, Hoidel and Reb Akiva, and they both agree that it's Nevela. But that Mishnah was codified in Daf Mem Beis before Reb Akiva had changed his mind. And that Mishnah, that was Reb Akiva, he that holds it happens to be a Treifa. But if you want to know what the bottom line is, after all the Mishnayos, come back to our Mishnah because Rabbi Akiva changed his mind and he holds in fact that it's an Avela. That's what the Gemara is. Back to the Gemara. Loi kasha kan, koidim chazor, kan liachazor. So now you're going to go and tell me, once Rabbi Akiva changed his mind and he holds that it's an Avela, so why don't we change the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis and take out the case of the Psukas Agageris? It's not a case of Treif, it's a case of Avela. Everybody agrees. Rabbi Yeshevov and Rabbi Akiva. Once it became well known to all the Talmidim, and as Barry will tell us from the Toises, the end of Megillah, they used to go and sing all of these Mishnayos.
And then it was all tightly edited.
Exactly. So if you're going to go and start playing with a Mishnah, they're going to lose the whole rhythm. They're going to lose, because remember, everything was Balpeh. None of this was recorded in writing, so it was all Balpeh. If you're going to start making changes, everybody's going to get Satum. So we just left it the way it is. But let's get back to Reb Shimon Lakish. Go for Amar Reb Shimon Lakish. Shachar is a kana viyachat nikva rei is chen. Amar Rav, lo yom Reb Shimon Lakish ele bereya, hoil v'chai reya tliya b'kana. That makes a lot of sense. You're going to pull out the kana, because the kana was already geshachtan properly, so it's if you pull it out together with the reya, it's a package deal, it makes a lot of sense. What happens if after shechting the kana, then before you shechted the veshit, there were holes in the Bnei Me'ayim. Bnei Me'ayim, of course, means in the intestines, which is another one of the traces on Daf Mem Beis. Would you say the same halacha? Zokt Gemara, no. Amri Shlokish El Bereya, because the Chai Reya Tluya Bekana. It's not only the Chai Reya, because physically they're one shtick. The Reya is connected to the Kana is connected to the Reya. It's as if you took the whole thing out, and therefore I don't care now that it's Nekivas Ha-Reya anymore. But Bnei Me'ayim, those are two separate things. Bnei Me'ayim, in fact, is attached to the Veshit, not attached to the Kana. And so therefore, says Yimor, that halacha would not apply, and if you had such a tarvis between the Kana and the Reya, it would be treif. You wouldn't say, oh, it's kosher. No, it would be treif, it would be an avela, but it would not be kosher. Maslur Abzeira, the Afishan hold the Basi Mani Treifa, he tired to, you just said a moment ago to Shimon Lakish, that Simoni Treifa grew after the shechita of one of the two, in the case of the kana. Ah, so you're saying you were matter it. So, ma li bereya, ma li b'menei me'ayim. What difference does it make? Once you're telling me that one of the two simonim has already been severed, and no duba nekev in the reya, why don't you say the same thing as nekev in the b'nei me'ayim? Rashi immediately asks, how can you compare the two together? Right. The whole reason for the reya, because it was connected to the kana, but it's not connected at all. Right. So Rashi says that Reb Zeira understood that the reason is not because kiman the mancha the kuliyadaya, but for totally different reason, and that is he holds that ein treifis lechatzi chios. What means lechatzi chios? The Torah only gave us a din of treifa if the treifa happened when the animal was totally alive and kicking and going and moving. If, however, one simen has already been geshachten, so this behemoth is already 50% of the other world, so to speak, it's no longer fully alive. So now, tarifus, it hits now, leimale v'leimoy. If you look at the Rashi, first wide line of the middle lines, he tarta, the svirale, kibin de mitzasa ishtachin. Since part of it is already geshachten, sulay mitzvah, tarifus can no longer happen to this animal, she'ein treifa lechatzi chayus, or chatzi chiyus. Once half of the chiyus is already terminated, you only have half left, don't talk about treifa. This animal is, you know, it's only another quarter of a second, it's going to be dead because of the shchita. So don't talk that, yeah, now a tarifus happened. The tarifus has to happen prior to the shchita when it's still alive and going and coming. But once the animal's already half dead because you've shechted one of the two, then it's leimalev leimoided, any type of tarifus that happens. So therefore it doesn't make a difference whether it's nereya or whether it happens to be the ne'ayim or whether it's the krum shel moyach or it's any other part of the body, it doesn't make any difference. So at least that was Reb Zeir asking it with Akasha. Once you're matzah, but how did Reb Zeir? Reb Zeir himself afterwards changed his mind. Wouldn't we find Reb Zeir changed his mind? Oh, you're the boy Reb Zeir. Nikvum b'nei me'ayim b'in simon l'simon. Oh, our very case. Ma, mi mitzar of simon rishon l'simon sheni l'tara midei nevela oy loy. So now, you see already, Reb Zeir has already gone off of his original psak, because his original psak was that according to you, Reish Lakish, it should be totally kosher, just like you were matir. Remember, Reish Lakish said, it's kosher. Says Reb Zeir, once you're matir, then it's kosher. Say even the case of Menei Me'ayim, that it should also be kosher, if the neck of Hatton being simon l'simon. Here, he's no longer asking that it's kosher. Reb Zeir already acknowledges this is non-kosher. My only question is, will the second half of the shechita be metayr b'dein avela, that it's no longer going to be metame? Mal, mi mitzarev simen rishon l'simen sheni letayr b'dein avela oy loy. What's the shayla? Says Rashi, because the simen rishon, the character of the shechita of the simen rishon, is different than the character of the simen sheni. How? When we mean character, because the simen rishon, when you shechted, you accomplished two purposes. Number one, you are matir to be able to eat this flesh after the shechita is over. So that's, in fact, that's the major reason why we go and shecht animals. So it did that. And number two, by the fact that you're shechting, it also took away any potential tumor that might come onto this animal. So therefore, that simen rishon accomplished two things. The simen sheni, however, did not accomplish two things. The only thing that it could possibly accomplish is to matir b'dein avela. One thing is for sure, it's not going to be kosher because there are holds in the B'nai Me'ayim before I finish the Shechita. So you see that Reb Zeira has changed his mind and said that even though it happened, Bein Simon the Simon, I don't say that it's kosher. It's not kosher. You cannot eat it, that's for sure. But the continuation of the Shechita, at least maybe it took away any tumah that might have transpired. So therefore there's a major difference between Simon Rishon that accomplishes, or at least is designed to accomplish two purposes. Mashenka the Simon Sheni can only accomplish one purpose. It certainly can't be matir to eat it, but maybe it can go and be mitzvah to two, the time of the event. Oh, boy, that was Ishai. The Amrina, and we told him, this is the Alta Shal. Rav Haini, the boy Ilfa, don't you remember the famous Shal of Ilfa, which was very similar? Hoiti Uber and Siyoda being similar, Simon Mao. What is this all about?
Right.
As you know, there's a din of a ben pekur. Ben pekur means that you have a mommy animal, you shechted the mommy animal, and then you find inside a fetus. And then you open it up after the shechita, and you say, hey, the fetus is starting to walk around, and in other words, it was already at the end of the 7th month, by Behemoth, it's not 9, it's only 7 months, yeah, by Behemoth Gassa.
Good. It's a gestation period.
A gestation period, exactly right. The pregnancy by human beings, will have to be by animals, say gestation.
Like 9 months and 10 days.
9 months and 10 days by humans or by animals? Humans. Very good. Baruch Hashem, we're not talking about shechting people, we're talking about shechting animals. And the Gemara says, by Behemoth Gassa, it takes 7 months. I think it's 5 months. It doesn't make a difference. Anyway, the point is that if you open up the animal after the shechita, then not only have you done a good shechita on the mami, you've done a good shechita on the ben bekur, and you don't have to go and shech the ben bekur min hatoyr. Mid rabbanon you have to shech because of marasayin, people see that an animal's alive and you eat it without shechita, so there's a goy, it's a shaygit, but min hatoyr, it's all kushim yush. Okay. Anyway, So Ilfa asked, what happens if, now Ilfa's talking about being similar, what happens before the two simanim? That child that is inside hears that they're shechting the mommy, and the child inside gets very anxious and gets very agitated to the point that it sticks out one of its front legs or hind legs from the womb of the animal. And then you go and shecht it.
It hurt.
He sliced it. He didn't put hadrasa. It was sliced. The animal was was smiling from beginning to end. Anyway, so the outside animal, the mommy, of course, is kosher. What about the inside animal? So the Gemara is going to tell us later on when we get to Daf Samach Tes that the eva that is sticking out, that is non-edible. You have to go and cut it off. Whatever it is. But the rest of the animal is edible, no problem. Everything is fine. Alts is good. What happens if it's stuck at its hand between Simen Echad, the Simen Sheni, mouth? So now, what's the shayla? You certainly, the Gemara is assuming that you cannot go and eat that hand because it wasn't inside that, when I say the hand, the
full limb.
Four foot. Yeah, good. Anyway, see, if that was there already, the Ubris Yod, before the two Simonim, certainly you would not be able to go and eat from it. And it would also be a shtik nevela because of the fact that it's outside the body. Now the question is, it's in between the simen and simen. What's the status of that aver? Do you say that it's mitayr midei nevela, or it's not mitayr midei nevela? What's the shayla? Me mitzar of simen rishon, the simen sheni latayr midei nevela, oy loy. The same shayla that we just asked. Since it stuck its hand out in between the two simonim, the first simen, when he was shechting, was a shechita both, lahatir, lahachshir, to be able to eat from it, as well as to go
on. The
second one already, this aver, unfortunately, is a goner. So I won't be able to be mahtir that second aver. However, do I get the benefit, at least in mitar b'dein aveila, of that aver, which is sticking out? Oylai. So zokti gemara, ad kan li boi len elatar b'dein aveila. Abachil asura, everybody agrees that it's asura. So therefore says the gemara, I don't understand, Reb Zeira, what your shaila is. Your shaila is between the Simen Rishon and the Simen Sheni. Guess what? That's the very shaila of Ilfa. Mm-hmm. And we also see from this that Reb Zeira has changed his mind. Because Reb Zeira said before, that just like in Rish Lakish's case, where you shechted perfectly the Reya, not the Reya,
the Kana.
Then you say that even though there's a Nekiv in the Reya,
it's immaterial.
Immaterial, and it's Kusha V'Yusha. So Reb Zeira, if that's the case, the same thing should apply, B'nai Me'ayim, it's Kusha V'Yusha. And yet I see that Reb Zeira is asking a Shaila, being similar to Simon Mao. And that Shaila is the same thing as Ilva Shaila. And the Shaila is Mitzarf, the first Simon to the second Simon. The first Simon was full-fledged and had two, both purposes. To be matter to eat, two purposes, two motivations, two accomplishments, both legabe to be matter to be able to eat, as well as to be matar de nevela. The second simon, however, you can no longer be matter the flesh because it was already also to eat. Didn't Reb Zeira say that you can eat it if it's in between? It's just like the corner. There's no ein treifis lechatzi chias. Is Reb Zeira changing his mind? And that's what the Gemara said, V'hoda be Reb Zeira. Because Avada certainly can't eat it. Only Shaila is Yom Tam Adin Avela, Nish Matam Adin Avela. According to Reb Zeira, you can eat it. Amalir Vachu Barav L'Ravina, Dilmul Oilam Loi Hoda Be. No, Reb Zeira did not change his mind. As far as he's concerned, Benim Ayim is just like Reya, it's Kusha V'Yushev, there's a naked bane, Simon L'Simon, Kasha. Reb Zeira, the Zvar of the Ravik Amar, he's saying, according to you, Rav, that you are going and telling us that this halacha only applies by the Reya and not by the B'nai Me'ayim. Why? They should both be the same. So therefore, you, according to you, Rav, that you're making that distinction, I'm going to ask you a shayla, what happens if it's been simen l'simen, what would be the din? As far as he's concerned, this is just more a theoretical, hypothetical Talmudic discussion, because as far as he's concerned, it's even kusha v'yusher, not a shayla whether it's mitztarif to Matarbin and Avela, yes or no, but in fact you can eat it lechachala. We'll stop over here and be a chum to be continued tomorrow.
It's very important to that Rish Lakish